broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Absolutely not. I worked in a cotton field.
I'm not saying that it's right and it's okay that they made a mistake.
I came here from soccer practice and I got in the shower and I got dressed.
Wednesday afternoon, I got a message on my cell phone.
I heart boobies.
Well, I hope you knew to use a condom.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. News, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. Where through the looking glass we go each and every night and go places where other talk shows wish they could but can't. Head over to our website, philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com, where you get live streaming video of our show as well as live streaming audio of our show each and every night. We're available mobile, so if you have an Android phone or an Evo phone, you can watch our video and listen to our audio as you move about the countryside, whatever you're doing in the evening hours. And we are soon to be available on iPhone with on-demand video. So, you know, we're getting educated slowly but surely on the whole Apple thing, man. Those cats are a whole different breed. Nonetheless, we've got it going on. So check out philhendryshow.com for thousands of hours of archives, live broadcasts, as well as podcasts, as well as archived material. Joining us this hour is going to be Gregory Baugh. Mr. Baugh is a battalion chief with the fire department. And we're going to talk about a very, very tragic event in the history of this man's career and how he is fighting to get his job back, basically. Still to come tonight, a Glee actress apologizes for the racy GQ magazine pictures, plus a white councilman tells a black councilman that he belongs in a cotton field. All of that up this evening on the Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Bringing us up to the present moment here is Gregory Baugh. Mr. Baugh, up until 2 years ago, was a battalion chief of the fire department in the United States. And after a very tragic event in which two of his firefighters lost their lives, he lost his job and is right now fighting to get that job back. And we welcome Greg Baugh on our program. And thank you, sir, for being with us.
My pleasure, sir. Thank you.
You know, we've been reading these articles, Mr. Baugh, about the fire companies, one of them in Tennessee, that charges a subscription fee, basically. If you do not subscribe to the fire department's protection, then you do not have protection. Is that something that was sort of similar to your situation?
We didn't call it a subscription fee per se. It was a difference of fees and assessments between two counties. Where we had fire in one county, or we had fire and police in another county, and they would share. And if you did not have, if you were not assessed, if you did not pay these special assessments, then your neighborhood or your district, or however it was, however these were gerrymandered initially, that's what we were charged with protecting. They sort of went between these two different plans when what happened in the winter of 2001 occurred in the old brewery, and I was caught really between these two different plans. Were we charged with protecting a certain assessed area? Were we charged with giving equal fire protection to the entire county? It was not anything that I was necessarily aware of at the time, and that's what my attorney argued, and was not successful in making that argument.
But you just want your job back. I want to find out.
Yes, sir.
I want to find out exactly what happened. So it is February of 2002. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And you are where?
At that particular day, I was at the home of one of our city council people who was hosting a Super Bowl party for the football game. So I was there with my wife, Carolyn, and there were other members of our district council, city council. There were representatives from police department, police services, and myself, as well as council people and their family members. At about 1:30 in the afternoon, I received a call that there was a fire in the old brewery building, which is along the river, and that the call had gone out to one of our fire companies. And I immediately got on the phone and I made sure that we had an appropriate response from all of our companies. And I was in the middle of a pretty energetic scene, you can well imagine, with people asking me what the phone call was about. There was a news report on the television while the ball game was on. So there was quite a bit of confusion, but I made the phone call and made the phone call to my second in command there, as well as to our chief, department chief, to let them know.
And this fire at that time, was it a did it seem like anything out of the ordinary?
Well, it was a significant event in so much as there was a lot of smoke that was escaping from the far side of the building, but there were no wasn't visible the flames themselves, how intense the heat might be inside, or what the situation was inside the building with regard to the fire was not evident. But we felt, because all we saw was smoke, that it was contained in the building and that we were going to be able to get a handle on if we could vent the building and get some firemen inside of it. So at about 1:45, I received another phone call. This was after they'd done this venting, and the roof apparently of the building had collapsed. And now these flames had escaped, obviously, the containment area, and were now engulfing the building. I was, at that time, leaving this event, and I had not eaten at all, probably since the night before. And my wife and I had gotten up and literally gone over to this, so... I was very, very frightened for, not frightened, but concerned for the well-being of my firemen as well as the success of their of this operation. So I certainly wanted to be on scene.
I was going to say, so how much time has elapsed between the time you got the first call and now the time you've gotten a second call that the roof of this building has collapsed?
About 20 minutes.
20 minutes. So would you say in your experience that that fire was pretty... out of control, or?
Well, not necessarily. Once we began to vent, and by venting, what I mean is you knock holes in as much of the structure as you can to release whatever pressures are beginning to mount in there. You can, at that point, then get some fire suppression and fire retardant and water inside. So it didn't necessarily mean that the fire was not containable, but it did mean that it quite possibly was very, very hot and obviously proved to be.
So 20 minutes from the time you get the report to the time that the roof of this thing collapses and you're still at this party.
Well, I, again, had received a phone call. It was very confusing. There were a lot of people who were stopping me and asking me, well, what had happened? My wife walked up to me as I was going to pick up my jacket and leave, and she realized that I had not eaten and that I was probably going to have some sort of a blood sugar event. So I went over and I grabbed some whatever they had on this table, which was some potato salad. I got a bowl or a dish of potato salad and just some pickles. And I was getting ready to leave when someone grabbed me. It was one of the city council people. He wanted to know what was going on. And that's when another call came in, approximately 2:15, that we had lost Company 23.
And then what is Company 23?
It's two of our firefighters, Tommy Stutz and Mr. Greg Schilling.
You had lost these men?
Yes, sir.
How do you know you'd lost them?
There was no contact. My understanding... from the scene, they tried to get contact and could not reestablish contact. Both of them had gone in. They were both communicating with base up to a point when they communicated that they felt like the structure was compromised and that they wanted to pull out. And at that time, they were given permission. I got the call. And
Where are you when you get this call?
I am... at that point, I'm confused. Everybody at this event is confused because now we've gone from having a fire to having a roof cave in to having two of my firefighters now gone missing and most probably lost. It's been a good hour, and I'm still trying to get, sort of oriented, and I got some food into me, so I made a sandwich, and my wife then suggested that she go instead of me to the scene to the extent that she could help.
Well, you're talking about your wife. Your wife is Carolyn, right?
That is my wife, right.
All right. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. You're listening to Mr. Greg Baugh, who was a battalion chief. When this fire broke out, he was at a Super Bowl party that was being held for the city council members. This fire in the brewery broke out. And we're sort of following this, Greg, and the very unfortunate fact that you lost your job. You were fired by the department, and two of these brave men met their end that day.
That is correct, and they were very brave men. Tommy Stutz and Greg Schilling, I knew both of them. They were outstanding firemen and outstanding men.
Now, you've gotten this terrible news. You've gone from having this fire breaking out, now the structure has somehow been compromised. You said the roof has collapsed. Two of the firemen are missing. And you are on your way out the door to get to this, right?
I was on my way out the door, and as I said, I had not had nothing to eat. I stopped. I got a bowl of potato salad and a sandwich. I was talking with the mayor about, he had an issue. When he asked me, well, what happened, I said, I just lost two of my firemen. And he wanted to know about this appropriation with regard to retardant that we had asked for. And I'd asked for this for months.
You're talking about what? About
an appropriation for fire retardant, which we wanted to put on one of the engines, because the first engine you send in, you always want it to be a retardant, to be capable of carrying some kind of retardant tanks in case there's no water.
Okay, I understand that, but you need to get out the door to this fire, right?
Yes, that is correct. That is correct. That also is correct. And that's when Carolyn said to me, well, do you want me to go? And I said that she could.
Is she a fire person? Is she...
Well, to the extent that she's my wife, yes. If she's married to me, yeah, she's in the fire department. But I asked Carolyn to get over there and see what she could see, and because the city councilman now has got me nailed down, and every time I'm trying to get up.
So what I'm hearing here, Greg, is that you're trying to leave this party, the Super Bowl party. You stopped to get something to eat, and now you're talking to a city councilman about appropriations. Couldn't you have told the councilman that...
Well, that's what I was trying to do, Phil.
That you got to get out the door. I mean, and we can talk about these other things later, right?
That's what I was trying to do, Phil, and that's when I said, I gotta get out of here. And he said, he understood that. And that's when I said, Carolyn, can you go? And that's when I sent my wife on ahead of me.
And your wife is not in the fire department?
Not in the fire department. I think you had asked me that already, and I don't know what...
Well, yes, I had asked you that already, because you're sending your wife onto the scene.
She's married to me, and because she's married to me, to the extent that makes her a firefighter, that's what she is. In fact, because she's married to me, to the extent that makes her a battalion chief.
And so you sent her on ahead... And you're getting out of there too.
Yes, I'm getting out of there. And what we're getting at right now, Phil, is the whole point of how I lost my job that day, because it was such a confused scene. Nobody knew what was. No one could get any clear information. And I think there were three victims that day. There was Tommy Stutz and Greg Schilling, who died in that building, and myself. I died that day. My career died that day. And Tommy and Greg, they can't come back. But I can come back. And that's all I'm asking for.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. We're talking here to Mr. Gregory Baugh, former fire battalion chief. Does he deserve his job back? We're talking with him about this fire that broke out in a building where two of his firefighters died. It's been an hour since he got the call, and he is still at this Super Bowl party because the information is so confused and people are all over him. He can't get out the door, to the point where he's going to try to send his wife over there, who has absolutely no firefighting experience at all. It's a very confused story, and it's one that he lost his job behind. And he says there's three victims, the two firefighters and himself. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with more from Mr. Gregory Baugh here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
It was German potato salad. You know what, the vinegar?
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. I have with me Mr. Gregory Baugh. It was a fire battalion chief when a fire broke out in a deserted brewery building, a fire that eventually collapsed the roof and killed two firefighters. This was on a Super Bowl Sunday in 2002 while he was attending an event, a function with other city council people and, you know, with other principals of the city. Gregory, now you're trying to get out the door. You've sent your wife ahead. You just said that Tommy Stutz and Greg Schilling, these two firefighters that died that day, and you, the three of you, are the three victims. Why do you call yourself a victim?
Well, I don't like the use of that word. I've always seen myself first and foremost as a firefighter, and I'm not a victim. I try to help victims, but I had no choice because what happened that day when I talked to Councilman Buck and I said, what part of the city is subscribing to fire service, and what part is not? And I wanted to determine whether that part of the city was indeed subscribing. And he had to make a call back to his office. So I'm standing there waiting to find out whether I should go or not. And
Well, no, wait. When you say waiting to should go, because if that brewery was in a part of the city that was not subscribing to fire service, you didn't need to be there?
I didn't need to be there. Yeah, my firemen didn't need to be there. My companies, they didn't need to be there. But they went as a precaution. Now I'm waiting. Am I going to go? Am I going to stay? What do I say to the host of this party whose wife is standing there offering me more of this German potato salad? Do I tell them all to, you know, excuse my language, to go to hell? So at the end of the day, when I get fired and I've lost two firefighters, and why? My question will always be why.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. I'm going to go to some phone calls here as we talk to Gregory Baugh. Here is Edward in Los Angeles. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Edward,
yes.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't think this guy deserves his job back. I mean, you tell the host to basically go to hell. I mean, you lost your job because you're sitting there eating potato salad while two of your firemen are in a building dying. And
I tried to get out of this situation, but the information we were getting was spotty.
You know, I don't mean to sound so harsh. It just, you know, if you're the chief battalion or the battalion chief station, whatever you call it, the boss or whatever, you know, you should have known exactly what to do, or at least something in this situation, not sitting at a Super Bowl party eating potato salad.
So, you know. All right, so. Yeah, the question here, and I think it's a good question Edward has, why, as the battalion chief, are you not sprinting out the door,
yeah,
in your car,
yeah,
gone down the road?
Why? Because I didn't know what had happened, first off. I wasn't sure what had happened.
Had you not gotten a call that said there was a fire, and it is at this brewery?
We had gotten that call, but I didn't know if it was, when you say a fire, is it a fire that we need a fire department for, or can someone put it out with a garden hose, you know?
But if the fire department's getting the call, you have to assume it's a serious fire, right?
Yes, you do. And once you do determine that, the next thing you have to do is obviously get up and go. And if I've got a city councilman and I haven't eaten, and that was the other thing I don't think the gentleman mentioned, I had not eaten since the night before. I had low blood sugar.
Diabetic? It was the last thing on my mind. Poor potato salad.
What happens if you pass out or faint or what have you while you are in the process of doing your job? That doesn't make any sense. My wife insisted that I have at least some potato salad and a piece of ham.
Yeah.
So
well,
I did that.
So you're eating ham and potato salad, and these two guys' wives never get to see their husbands again.
Right.
So, you know,
these
I
two
don't
men,
know one way or the other, right?
I agree with you. It's a tragedy, and I was trying to get out. That's why I sent my wife ahead. I had to send someone. She's not even a professional. But I had to get somebody out the door because I'm going to faint. I have a city councilman who's asking me what happened. So I told my wife, just go.
What is your wife going to do?
Right. She's going to...
It's like a cop getting a 911 call and saying to his little brother, like, hey, why don't you go handle this one? I'm hungry. You know? Like,
no, sir.
Like,
no, sir. No, I'm sorry, but you got it all wrong, sir.
No, all right, Edward, thank you for your call. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Gregory Baugh, fire chief who lost his job.
Phil Hendry.
And I had low blood sugar and everything.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Phil Hendry here with Mr. Gregory Baugh. Mr. Baugh is a fire battalion chief who was fired from his job in 2002 and is fighting to get that job back. He has published a couple of op-ed pieces in the Atlantic Journal talking about this fire that took place. It was a brewery. It was an old building. Two of your firefighters were killed. This is in a city that has this fire subscription, so there's, you know, who has jurisdiction. But you're at a Super Bowl party, sir, and my last caller put it very well, I think, and I think you need to answer this. Why are you not just out the door in a shot to your car, pulling your jacket on or not pulling your jacket on, not eating, and getting to that fire?
Well, Phil, I tried to explain to you. I know.
You said it was a very confused scene and people didn't have information. But once you knew, certainly after an hour, that the building had collapsed, two firefighters are missing, you knew what to do.
I did know what to do at that time. I had sent Carolyn ahead. I finally told the councilman that I was talking to that his conversation about fire retardant was inappropriate and that I was putting my foot down and I was going to be leaving. I even went so far as to remember dropping this bowl of potato salad someplace. I forget. I might have been on the floor. I got outside. I got to my car. And I realized I had to get gas. I had about a half a tank of gas. But I needed to go and stop and get gas because I've got an Audi. And if you don't keep more than a half a tank of gas in an Audi, you're going to have problems with the carbon deposit in the engine. So I stopped. And
see, that to me, these are things that a fire chief or a battalion chief wouldn't be thinking about.
Well, Phil, you're not a battalion chief, are you? You're a talk show host. You're a very good one, but you're not a battalion chief. I've been in a lot of situations, and I've seen a lot of good men lose their lives, and I was going to be there no matter what. And once we got this separated out and I got to the gas station and I walked in, because I had cash, I didn't have my credit card, I left my wallet. And I remember that the guy at the counter was watching the halftime show of the Super Bowl. And if you remember the Super Bowl that year, it was U2, and everyone was watching U2. And so I try to get this guy's attention. I can't get his attention. I said, I need to get gas. Here's my money. And he's very slowly, and I realize he's watching U2, and I start watching this because I am so tired. I've not had anything to eat. My blood sugar is down. Really, at that point, Phil, I had no control over my own mind. And I remember even watching this U2 and thinking of the song they were playing at that time, It's a Beautiful Day. And I thought, that's a nice... I remember how much I liked that song. And
You're okay, I just want to be clear here, because...
I know what you're going to say, Phil. To be a battalion chief in the middle of an emergency is one of the toughest jobs in the world. And we lost two men. And
no, I know you lost two men, and I know it's a tough job, but so far what you're telling me is you were in the house, you finally got out, you finally you got out, you get to the gas station, now the guy is watching the U2 halftime show, and you got mesmerized, okay?
I didn't get mesmerized. I said I remember... Everything is happening in split seconds, understand, Phil. This isn't just... it's not taking me a half hour to get gas.
Well, how much time did it take you? All right, I tell you what, hold the line here, and I apologize, because I know that you lost two men, and it was terribly traumatic for you.
It was, Phil, and I don't, it's nothing I would wish on anybody. Believe me when I tell you that.
877-876-PHIL. I'm going to go over to a lady named Mavis in Miami. Mavis, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I have a comment. First of all, your guest need to put, not only that he lost his job, he need to put in jail. Because jobs like police officers, firefighters, doctors, nurse, security, if you get a call, you have to go as soon as possible.
I did, ma'am. No, I did as quick as I could.
No, you didn't. You were talking about your blood sugar, and you know when you wake up, you have to eat it. Eat as soon as you get up.
Right.
Okay, you
yes,
cannot
ma'am.
Bring that up that you're going to pass out. You just have to go. If you get a call, you have to go. Looks like you have Alzheimer's or something. You know,
well,
you need to put in jail.
If you don't eat, then you're going to have Alzheimer's.
You just have to go. Doesn't matter. When you wake up, you have to eat. If you're diabetic, that's the first thing you need to do.
Well,
check your blood sugar and eat.
You.
And for instance, because you have a job like a firefighter, you know you are on call. He could call you anytime. And you have to go. You cannot send your wife. What the hell? Your wife don't know nothing about firefighting.
I've been putting in 14-hour days. I had to send somebody.
No,
my wife said
no.
Go.
You can't get your job back. No, not at all.
Why did you send her? You sent your wife. She's not a professional.
I've been putting in 14-hour days. I forgot to eat. I asked for a small bowl of oatmeal before I left. My
you
wife said she'll
about
go.
Food. You are a fool. You're just a fool. You cannot send your wife. She don't know nothing about it. You're just a fool.
Ma'am, I was on scene. Well, not only am I not going to go to jail, ma'am, but I want my job back, and I want my back pay.
You can't get your job back. Not at all. Those jobs are not for you.
Well, I don't know
and,
how
look for
you
a job in a store where you can
that.
Call sick or whatever,
yeah.
But you
what
can't
about,
get those
what
jobs
do you mean,
back.
What do you mean you were putting in 14-hour days?
I hadn't eaten for 2 days, and all I wanted was a lousy bowl of potato salad. My wife said she'd go. I got some food. I went. The guy's watching. It wasn't my fault that he's watching you too, ma'am. It's not my fault because this man decides he wants to watch a football game. I can't get gas.
Forget about the football game. If you get a call, you are a firefighter. You need to get up and go.
Right.
That's the job.
What we're hearing here.
Forget about the salad.
And if I got up and went and passed out and fell to the floor, how do you feel about that?
Well, were you in
That's
danger of passing
job.
Out?
That's the wrong job for you. You're
the
not responsible.
I've had that job for 15 years as a fire battalion chief.
Doesn't matter. They had to let you go because you're not responsible. That's what it is.
Ma'am, I want to say something, and I don't mean no offense, but you talk like this, almost like a man.
No, you're
it doesn't
just
matter.
A fool.
It doesn't
I have the same
like
job like you. You're just a fool. You're just a
you
fool.
You talk like a guy.
All right, Mavis, very good point, because either you're up for the job or you're not. Either you're up for the job or you're not, Greg.
I'm completely up for the job, Mr. Hendry. What happened was a city council member named Buck, who's as stupid as, and I don't mind saying this, he's as stupid a human being as you've ever met, asking me why we don't have fire retardant. And then he said, hey, how's the potato salad? And it's very good.
Well, you're having small talk with this guy, man. Why didn't you say, look, Buck, I got to go?
He's a city council member who controls the purse string.
It doesn't make any difference, man. Two men are dead.
No, by the time when I was talking to him, I had not gotten that call.
You hadn't gotten that call, but you got to get out to the fire scene. There's two. It's compromised. I think you told me by the time you were speaking to that man, the building had collapsed, right?
That is correct.
All right, then you should have said to him, we're going to have this conversation later, Councilman. I'm gone. I'm a ghost. You know?
And that's what I did.
Well, no, that's not what you did. You sent your wife.
Because I needed to get a little bit of ham. I needed protein. And
all right, you got your protein. Now you're over at the gas station. The guy who's pumping the gas...
They don't know. It's a self-serve, but I had to go pay with cash.
All right, you have to pay with cash, and the dude that's going to take your money is watching the U2 halftime show of the Super Bowl. Let me get over to another phone call here. Glenn, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Gregory Baugh. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I would just like to say I have a brother that's on the fire department. And just because he's on the fire department does not mean his wife needs to get into anything that's involved with the fire department. She is a fireman's wife, but she has no say-so in the fire because she knows nothing about it. Two,
well, yeah,
my brother worked through Hurricane Katrina, and he worked for several days with no sleep and no eating because he knows it's a priority job. You do your job if that's the job you want. You do not put other people's lives at risk if you're not willing to risk your own.
Oh, no, wait a minute. I'm very willing to risk my own life. It was a very confused information.
You just told me what you just said just a few minutes ago. You sit there and was worried about feeding your face and talking to the council members why two men were dying. It's what you just said. If you listen to your conversation again and go back,
yes, sir.
And
I don't deny that, sir. I don't deny that, sir. But what you call feeding my face, I desperately needed to get my blood sugar up.
Well,
because
sir,
I'd had.
To me, you don't deserve your job, and I hope you can live with all that guilt. You should have plenty of guilt in your heart for what you've done, because you've done wrong.
Sir, do you live without eating food? I'd like to know how you do that.
Sir, I'm a truck driver. Sometimes I go days without food.
Oh, come on.
You're missing the point of what these guys are saying, Greg. Whether it's Glenn or the other guy saying, and even me, I mean, we've all had days where we don't have time to stop and eat, and we got to keep going, and you're getting it out of, you're getting a candy bar out of a machine if you have to, man. I mean, you go down there to the fire, maybe some guy's got a donut or a half of an eaten sandwich. You eat where you can.
Well, that's exactly how I feel, Phil, and that's the kind of guy that I am. And it just so happened she'd made this German potato salad that she was proud of. Am I supposed to say drop dead?
Well,
what am I supposed to do then?
I won't argue with you anymore. You know, you can say what you want, but you done wrong. You know you done wrong, and I hope you can live with the guilt because
the good Lord's going to have
questions for you when you meet him.
Well, I think that's uncalled for, sir, to know, you know, God doesn't know, but look.
God doesn't know?
Well, he don't know what he's going to say, and this gentleman said something about this. My wife, what do you mean, if you're married to a firefighter,
Is your wife in charge of you? It sounds like you're the child and she's the mother.
What? No. No, I'm the one that said to her, you know.
Didn't she suggest it?
At the beginning, you said she asked you, did she want her to go? Not you asked her. She asked you. So get it straight now, because you're getting confused.
No, my wife knows about my blood sugar. And she said, why don't you stay and have potato salad? I'll go. And I said, all right.
So are you a diabetic?
No, I'm hypoglycemic.
Okay, well, then, if your blood sugar's to the point that you cannot perform that job, you don't need the job anyway. Because my brother keeps fueling his truck at all times. And if he's got to eat, he's going to make sure he's got something around. You know, you've got to have something, that type of job.
Why don't you keep something in the car, man, you know?
What are you going to keep in the car? A sandwich is going to go bad.
You don't put a sandwich in there. An energy bar or something that you can keep.
Well,
what about that damn Slim Jims? You know that, what do you call it, beef jerky?
Beef jerky is bad. It's bad for you. I would say the following thing. My wife is not in the fire department, but by God, she's married to a fireman. That's the same thing, isn't it? You're a truck driver.
Why don't you give her
basically
a job? She was willing to go to the thing. You wasn't willing to go.
Well, okay, so are you calling me queer?
All right, let's just watch that. Glenn, thank you for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL. I don't think... And with all due respect, Mr. Baugh, you understood this. He was saying your wife is not in the fire department.
No, she's not in the fire department, Phil, but any wife of any firefighter can tell you that they lived a life with their man. And my wife, she's seen me 14, 15, 20, 25 hours, not 25, but 24, 3-hour days. And she's a fireman. She's not a fireman. She's a fire person. Wanted to call her that, and she knows the things that I had to cut
877-876-PHIL 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back here with Mr. Gregory Baugh, who's putting a pitch in to get his job back as a fire battalion chief, a job he lost when he never did make it to the scene of a fire that took the lives of two of his firefighters. 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
25-hour days, however many hours there are in a day, I put in more than that.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL with me, Gregory Baugh, who is looking to get his job back as a fire battalion chief after the tragedy there of Super Bowl Sunday 2002, when a brewery, an abandoned brewery, suddenly burst into flames. Did they ever find out what caused the fire?
Well, that was the unfortunate part of it, Mr. Hendry. The persecution that took place following this fire of myself, as well as Tommy Stutz and Greg Schilling, the two firefighters that died.
What do you mean, the persecution of them?
No, the persecution was of me. They were just, they died, but I was being persecuted. So that we had three victims, and the persecution of me took up so much time that they never, I don't think they ever found out, really.
Well, that seems very strange, doesn't it, to you, that they never found out what started a fire? It seems like the very first thing that a fire marshal is going to figure out.
Well, I never heard about it.
But you'd been fired.
No.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go to another phone call we have on the line. Rick, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Greg Baugh. Rick, go ahead.
Hi, I'm in the Charleston area
yes.
of South Carolina.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We had an issue of losing 9 firemen here a few years ago, and the actual fire chief got nailed for it, but this guy, he's saying he is a battalion chief of a department. First of all, what's he doing at a Super Bowl party and not with his men at the station?
Well, first of all, it was an official function that they'd asked me to attend. There were city council people there. There were representatives from the police department there. There were people from county sheriff, as well as different politicians that represented the county departments and the city departments.
Okay, sir. With all due respect, I'm a fire captain myself. I am also a diabetic. I know about you saying, having half a tank of gas in your car and
right.
talking about your blood sugar. Sir, with all due respect, that is a cop-out, okay? And you should have been with your men.
Excuse what do you me? Mean a cop-out? I don't know what you mean by a cop-out. I was going to be with my men, and I told you that when I got to the filling station, the kid that takes the money is watching you, too.
Okay, I understand that, sir, but we
yes,
are
sir.
Firefighters 25 hours a day, 8 days
yes,
a year, 367 days a year. Okay,
yes.
we've got to be prepared
yeah.
for anything that comes our way. So
by saying
your car had a half tank of gas and you knew that it messed with an Audi engine, sir, that is either a cop-out or it's negligence on your behalf.
You said that you had to get gas because, were you out of gas?
I was, yes, essentially I was out of gas. Essentially in an Audi, when you have a half a tank of gas, you're dead in the water.
No. I'm not talking about carbon deposits on your engine.
Well, Mr. Hendry, if you want me to blow up an engine, okay, then I'll never get there.
Are you telling me that if you drive on a half a tank of gas in an Audi, you'll blow the engine up?
You're not going to blow. I worked very hard for that car. Very hard. Very, very hard. And now you guys want me to put carbon on it. And
yeah, to get to the fire, to be with your men, where two men have lost their lives.
I understand that, sir. And so I wanted to get my gas and get the hell out of there. And
you know what I would have done? If the kid didn't come over to get the money, I would have gotten my car and drove off.
Okay, great. And what if the police stopped me? Now I'm delayed.
And you tell the cops you're a fire chief and you're on your way to a fire.
See, all of that wastes time. I would rather just get the gas. I told this man that I'm talking to right now that when I watched you two, I was so hungry from the blood sugar that I have, I became almost, hypnotized by you two. So I'm watching you two. And I hear It's a Beautiful Day, and I hear another song that I like very much called Gloria. And then I come to, and the kid's saying, what do you want? And I said, I'm a fire chief. You watch the way you talk to me. And I said, I'm putting gas in that Audi out there. And he says to me, it's not an Audi, it's a Volvo. I said, all right.
So I went, I put the gas in it, and by then they called me up and said I was fired.
They called you on your cell phone?
Wait a minute. If you knew this car messed up with you, had the carbon deposits on the engine at a half a tank of gas, and you're a fire battalion chief, why didn't you fill up the car earlier? You've always got to keep that thing full if it's going to give you problems at a half a tank.
That is a great point. That's a great point. And that's why my son, you know, he'll never, ever, ever drive another car of mine because he steals the keys and he joyrides. That's what he did. And I didn't know it. So he'd been out joyriding, you know, with his friends and his girlfriend, and I'm finding malt liquor bottles in the back seat.
How old's your son?
He's just turned 30. And I said to him, he's never, ever...
30?
What do you mean, 30? What do you mean by that?
You got a 30-year-old kid that's joyriding in your Volvo who winds up getting a half...
You know, I guess you... Do you have kids? The gentleman on the phone, do you have kids, sir?
No, sir, but my fiancé does. And they...
If they're over the age of 30, I wouldn't let them live with you. That's what
Phil Hendry.